Guardians, Crystal Keepers, Gym Lovers, and Rock Hounds. Welcome to There's a Rock for That. This is the show that is all about crystals, gems, and rocks of all varieties, where we will explore the folklore, metaphysical properties, and healing applications of the stone people. I'm Pterodactyl, and I welcome all of you, whether you're here to connect to the Crystal Kingdom, or discover what your rocks are about, or even sail the mystic seas to the land of dragons, where fairies greet us and unicorns gallop through magical forests to sacred stone temples. I'm so happy that you are here to share the experience. Well, today is going to be such a wonderful, wonderful show. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, angels. And with me today, we're very lucky to get the author of the brand new book that just came out called Angels, The Definitive Guide to Angels from Around the World. And my guest today is its author, Marie-Ange Fougerola. And let me tell you a little bit about her before we bring her on. She's an award-winning French author, speaker, and screenwriter. And at the age of 4, she had her very first contact with angels and that filled her heart with love and light. And ever since then, she has developed her gift to find people's personal angels. And now she has a degree in art and archaeology from the Sorbonne in Paris. She worked as a teacher for 7 years, ran a successful seminar company, and continues to conduct workshops to help others connect with the angels. She's published more than 13 books, ranging from epic period pieces through historical romance, supernatural drama, suspense, as well as self-help, esoteric, and spiritual nonfictions. And in 2003, she won the Jury Award of the Literary Prize organized by the Ministry of Interior of France. So she's a pretty amazing lady. She's done a lot more than the majority of us. So I'm so excited to talk to her today. So without further ado, let's bring on Marie-Ange. Marie-Ange, are you there?
Yes, I'm there, Pterodactyl. So happy to be with you today for your show, and very honored to be your guest as well. You're so gifted with your stones and crystals. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the honor is truly ours today to have you on. I had actually, when I heard about your book coming out, I immediately, as soon as I could, pre-ordered it because I knew I'd need to read it. And here we are today. So this is perfect timing, too, or maybe divine timing. Do you think the angels have something to do with this, everything coming together?
Oh. Of course, obviously, they have their time, which is not ours, but they do a lot of things in their time, and they know what is the appropriate moment to gather people and to make them meet for a great purpose. So obviously, yes.
I think so, too. And, I thought, first of all, this book is so, it's so filled with everything I think anyone could ever possibly want or need to know in order to connect with their angels and maybe even learn more characteristics of them and things that connect with them and stuff. How did you get started on such a big undertaking, and why? What drove you to do this? This is a lot of work you did.
Yes, it's interesting because you talking about synchronicity and the right time, it happened when my Canadian publisher told me one day, oh, you've written this and that and done this and that, and now I would like you to write a book on angels. It's the right time. So, it's exactly what happened. And I
came
back to France and started writing on the book. And it's an amazing experience writing this book, which is a huge book, because I wrote it in 4 months. And it's hard to believe
Wow.
because it's a lot of work. But
yeah.
I wrote it in a very good atmosphere. It was very positive. It was during summertime in my house in France. There were all the children here, my five children with friends, and my youngest one had just passed his final exam after high school in France, was, you know, very happy, was successful. He was taken in a good school in Montreal. So it was a celebration, and there were actually 12 people in the house every day. And I was surrounded by a lot of young people, and it was a very, very nice atmosphere. So I was, you know, uplifted by this great atmosphere, and I would write like 12 hours a day, a lot. And then at night we would barbecue and have a glass of wine, and it was absolutely amazing. A great atmosphere, great memory, and I was also channeling all the meditations, rituals, prayers. I every time I felt like I'm going to write something about how can we meet our soulmates, how can we ask this to the angels, and then instantly it was flowing in my mind like information coming from the celestial realm and coming through me, and it was so easy. And also when I was researching more in-depth information, I would receive information from a tap on the shoulder from my angels telling me, go see in your library, this book is going to be interesting. And once I was looking for an information that I found on the internet that I could only find in a book that was in Chartres, or a city 1 hour from Paris, where there is a beautiful cathedral, and it was in the bookstore, this cathedral's bookstore. So I was wondering, I don't have time to do this. I'm here, I don't have time. And 2 days later, my daughter told me, Mom, I have a friend to visit in Chartres. It was Reims, I'm confused, it was Reims. Anyway, I have a friend to visit in Reims. I'm going for the next weekend. And so I said, perfect, bring me this book. And that's what she did. So this is how it worked. Every time I needed information, it came to me very easily. And this is how I could write it in 4 months. And it was an amazing, amazing time.
You know, that is just is such a beautiful story of how this comes apart. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I feel like it's this, you know, magic story. I love it. You know, like this was supposed to happen for sure. And, you know, the thing that is kind of interesting to me is, there, you know, I thought, and I think a lot of us do, you know, we have an interest in angels. We study, we see what there is, you know, in various sacred texts on angels, and we maybe, you know, have our own experiences and read about other people's experiences and stuff, and we learn that way. There's a lot in your book. And there's other books of angels out there, of course, you know. But there's a lot in your book I've never seen anywhere else. And it surprised me in a great way, because it's like, oh, this is new. Okay. Now I you know, and there was a lot that was new to me. And the thing is that you're channeling this information. Did it surprise you, some of the stuff you were channeling after it was written down and you looked at it?
Yes, it did. And I have a little anecdote about this, is that once I performed one of the rituals that I or most of them were channeled, let's say almost, maybe one or two I just thought about. The rest were almost all of them channeled. And this time I performed a ritual for a friend of mine, and it was a healing ritual, a distance healing ritual. And I did it with my son, the two of us. And what happened is that the end of the ritual, if you haven't performed it, you cannot write it. And it's experiencing it that I discovered that it's obviously a channeled ritual, because I couldn't have guessed how it works. And this is proof that really I channeled it. And it was absolutely amazing. And I should say this book is really an energy more than only a book, because it has angelic vibrations in it. That's why it's, you said magic, there's magic in this book. And I thank the angels every day for guiding me to write this this amazing book, because, yes, they did really inspire me 100%.
And that's wonderful. You know, In your bio that I read, it talks about how this started for you with angels, experiencing them around the age of four. How did you understand that at such a young age? And how was it received if you shared it with your family or friends or anyone?
Oh, it was not at that time that I realized it was an angelic encounter. It was later on, of course, because at four, you live the experience, but you don't know what is going on, of course not. But I have this very interesting memory. I recall that moment where I was riding my tricycle in my grandparents' house in France, and all of a sudden, I saw a bright light right in front of me, out of nowhere. So I stopped. And I looked at this bright light. It was dazzling, like really, really a very bright light. Mm. And this light came through me. It was so strange. It came through me. And as it really infused me with its energy, I felt love, like an immense love and divine love. I couldn't explain this. And from that moment, I felt love is the cure to everything. Love is the key to everything in life. Everything that goes wrong in life, it's because there's not enough love. And this was like an obsession from that moment, that love is the key. And then I realized after a few years that it was an angelic connection, because I read a lot of things. And ever since I was a kid, I started reading a lot, and because my father and mother and family were a very conservative and traditional French family, I couldn't talk about that. They would have thought, like, what is this? It's, no, we don't believe this. And the thing is that I was connected to the other behind the veil, because I could see ghosts as well in the family house, and I could see a lot of things. This is why I started reading a lot of literature, like Edgar Allan Poe or many French authors writing about supernatural. And I discovered that these authors not only wrote stories, but also they had a connection themselves, because you cannot write all these stories if you've never been connected, if you never had a glimpse behind the veil. So I was connected to these authors, and step by step, I opened my mind and my heart to the other realm. And it became more and more important in my heart, but it was not the right moment. I had a lot of things to express first, stories to tell, and when it was the right moment, this publisher told me, go ahead. So it was an interesting experience.
That is a wonderful experience. You know, you make an interesting point about, you know, those authors who write of the supernatural and how, you know, how can you describe something, really, if you haven't seen it, basically, you know, or experienced it in some way. So for you, how do you perceive angels? Is there a certain look? Is it something you see, or is it an energy you feel?
Oh, this is a very interesting question. For sure, in reality, angels are energy. They are beings of energy only. They don't have any form. They don't have matter in their structure. It's only energy. Therefore, they're very capable of soaring in another realm, in another dimension. And at the same time, they appear to us whenever we need them. And I have many stories to tell about how they appear to me, appear to friends, appear, because they appear in many forms depending on how you want to see them, or depending on the situation they have to intervene in. So it's various forms. They can appear as human beings, as male or female. They can appear as pets. They can influence your pets and really in their energy is going to come inside your pets, as they came into me when I saw this bright light. And then they will influence a pet that's going to really reassure you if you're a little bit depressed or something goes wrong in your life. They will show you much, much love and affection, because an angel is telling them to manifest this affection. And they will also appear in the form of a feather that appears out of nowhere. You will feel a tap on the shoulder. So it can be visible and not visible. It can be a draft of air. It can be any a scent, it can be a flower, it can be a landscape that makes you absolutely happy because you see something breathtaking and then all of a sudden you feel goodness, love, you feel life is great. And all these manifestations are angelic manifestations because angels are not always there to show themselves, but also they work very discreetly. They have no ego. They have no desire for any reward. Therefore, they can come to us anytime. And sometimes people tell me, oh, I don't believe in angels. I believe in other things, but not in angels. And then I can say, I absolutely tell you, although you don't believe in angels, angels are working for you because when you're happy, you feel things are going very well. Synchronicity is perfect. A lot of things you can discover angels at work, and then they start thinking. And yes, angels are at work everywhere, all the time, in different forms and different manifestations.
You know, so if we think about it in that way, of them really kind of interwoven into the fabric of our experience, you know, what do we say, or what can help someone who just can't, you know, wants to, like, it's not a question of believing or not believing, wants to feel that experience and has such a hard time doing it? Where do they start if they really do want to, you know, feel more connected to the angelic energy?
Oh, it's a very interesting question. Angels are very easy to connect to. You can just be in your car, in your kitchen, in your house, wherever you are. You can talk to them. Talk to the angels and tell them that you would like to create this connection, that you're ready, that you want to be in tune with their energy, that you really want to be in their world. Therefore, they can come to you in a very simple way. Once you do this, you can create a little altar, very simple, with a white candle, light it, and take three very deep breaths and exhale your negativity and feel at peace in a place that you will not be disturbed. Feel at peace, and if you want, you can play Zen music or some classical music, something that makes you peaceful, at peace. And then you can say a prayer with your words from your heart and say exactly what you want to tell them. It's either you want to be comforted, either you want a connection because you have a desire of getting something in your life, finding your soulmate, changing job, have a better understanding of the psychological issues in your family, to calm down conflict, whatever your request is. You can ask this once you create this connection. And I just want to give you a hint to our audience. It's once you try the first time to connect to the angels, and after you do it as well, be very specific in your request. A lot of people are disappointed because they get something, but not necessarily what they really wanted. And it's very important to be specific. If you go to a restaurant and you say, I would like some food, you never know what's going to come. So obviously the cook is not going to know what you like. This is why it's the same thing. You know, it works as simple as this. Be specific. And it works. It definitely works. And that time is not always our time. And I'll just tell you a little story about this. When I was 15 years old, I was so interested in English literature and English language. I was fascinated. And what happened, I went to the British Library in Paris and saw this little penguin on the books. And I had one goal, is to be a writer. So I said, I'm going to become a writer. And I would like one day to see this little penguin on one of my books.
Aww.
And it happened with the book on angels. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yes, it's a great story.
And it's interesting, too, you know, what you're saying about, you know, the timing of things, because I think that, you know, that's the toughest problem that I think a lot of people have, is that, you know, we think we want something to come into our life or to happen in our life and we think we want it right now, or we think we want a specific relationship with someone or a specific job. And I think for a lot of people, you know, they'll ask for that, you know, whether they're working with angels, whether they're working with law of attraction, you know, whatever it is, they're trying to bring this to manifest in their life. And when it doesn't happen, I think they can get discouraged. And I think, you know, that's why what you say about the right time for things to happen is very important, because that's something to, I think we should consider more. Maybe,
yes.
Oh, it's not.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. It's a point that's very important to figure out, that we don't have the same schedule. We live on this planet with our time, and it's consuming, this consuming time. And for them, there is no time. The only time that they have is what is good for us. It's not what we want at the specific moment. And sometimes when we ask for to encounter somebody, this doesn't happen right away because we're not ready. Sometimes it's not because we're not ready in our mind. Sometimes we have things to accomplish before. I have seen many people telling me, oh, I didn't meet anybody, just because they had to change job to adapt to the new job and feel comfortable in this new job. And then they could meet somebody. And that was absolutely amazing. And then they were saying, oh, it's frustrating. I asked the angels to bring me somebody I would be very happy with, I would get along with, like a soulmate, or somebody I will spend the rest of my life with. And these women were, mostly women, were disappointed because it didn't happen right away. It didn't happen before 2, 3, 4 years. Sometimes it takes time, just because you have something to accomplish before. And it says, don't be discouraged. I would like to tell our audience today, don't be discouraged. Never give up. Once you ask something to the angels, they will bring it to you when it's the right time for you. It's absolutely sure. There is no doubt.
And, you know, that brings to mind one other thing, too, for me, is this idea of, you know, asking. If you ask once, is it enough? Because I know a lot of people are asking, they'll tell me, like, I ask every day for this to happen. And I'm like, well, my goodness, that would be annoying if I was the being you were asking. So is repetition important? Can they just, you know, the angels get it when we ask, and we don't have to keep, you know, asking for that same thing?
Oh, that's an excellent question. you know, it's just, honestly, angels will never be bored with what you're asking. It's just they're beings of love, compassion, and understanding. So whether you ask once, because you feel like asking once, it's fine. If you want to ask 100 times, it's also fine. It's just because they hear you once you say the first time you express, you utter your request. But let us be very comfortable with the angels. They understand that when we are really craving for something, we are going to ask 100 times. And it's fine because they understand us and they love us. So either once or many times, it's always fine. Always.
Oh, good. Well, that's good to know, because I know a lot of people that do that every day. It's like the ritual is asking for that thing that hasn't come yet. And someone in our chat room here was asking if it can take years for our answers to come to us.
Yes, it does. It can take years. It can take years. Like I said, we have no control over their work. This is what they do and what they decide. But it always happens anytime. But it's not, like I said, not our time. Sometimes it's a bit disappointing because our expectation is so high and so strong, and we're so willing to get something that we feel, oh no, that's not fair. I've been a good person. I've done my best, and it's not coming. It's frustrating sometimes. I would like to add something. There is angel time, and there is also something that can prevent angels from bringing you what you requested. Most of the time, angels just choose the right moment for you. That's the most important thing to remember. But there is sometimes when there is really important delays on something you asked for, it's because there is negativity around. It could be negativity in your mind that you're negative, you're depressed, you're down, you don't see anything positive in your life. This creates an energy that builds up and creates like a dark cloud that prevents the angels from making things happen very quickly. So if you ask something, my advice would be positive about it. It's going to happen. And trust the angels that they're going to help you. It also can happen if you're surrounded by negative people who are telling you constantly that it's not going to happen, that you're not going to get this, that your life is not what you want, it will not be, and that life is hard, it's a challenge, it's too difficult. No, don't listen to these people. They create another cloud of negativity around your request. And I would suggest a secret between you and I is to don't talk about your request to anybody. Your request is personal, personal. Don't tell your friends, coworkers, family what you ask for. Keep it for yourself, unless it's a family request, which is absolutely possible. I did, performed a lot of rituals with my family. We were asking for this and that all together. It's wonderful. We're very motivated. This is different. But if you have a very personal request, don't talk about it, because you will have no negativity around, and it will be directly conveyed to the angels, and they will do exactly what you wanted. So these are little hints to make things work.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because another question is, we have here is, how can we help from getting discouraged? When we don't get the answer and we're waiting during that time, I think the angels could probably help with that too, in a sense. Can they help us have that sort of, stay in that positive space?
Yes, they can help. When you're waiting for something, I suggest that you create a ritual, a daily ritual, or a weekly or monthly ritual, something that helps you really mastering time. For instance, you can light a candle every night or every Sunday or every first of the month, and that will create this little help with time. You won't see time as something that's not bringing you what you expected. It's time that will enlighten your path with a light, a few prayers along the path, and then you will feel connected all the time. And once you're connected, you'll receive their love, their energy, their power, and that enhances your own energy, and you will feel capable of waiting. It's very helpful. This little path, I would call it the light path, with time, and it helps a lot. It does. So this is my suggestion. If something that you asked didn't come as quickly as you expected, it's very helpful. Very.
Wow. And that is so, thank you for sharing that. Even one of our friends in the chat room here just said, thank you. She was, those were her questions, wondering about that. So I think you've given her some good stuff there. You know, one of the things that, of course, I was, so delighted about with the book is all the inclusion of all the crystals that we can use.
Of
and
course.
Again, it's so funny. Right when the season changed, I declared this to be, a spiritual connection season, and I was been talking about using crystals to help us connect better with angels, with different realms. We're going to be talking in a week or so about using it to connect with ascended masters, all these ideas of using contact stones in a sense. But I was wondering is, when you started getting the information from the angels about the crystals that can be used to help connect with them and in these different rituals and stuff, did that, were you surprised by the stones they suggested? And, did you receive any other information from the angels about maybe the connection we have to crystals?
Oh, that's also a very interesting question. Yes, I received a lot of information I had no idea about. I have to say, I was very interested in crystals, of course. I've always been interested in them. First of all, their beauty. It's amazing mm-hmm. beauty and the way they reflect light and all these beautiful things about crystals. But I was not really thinking of how should I connect crystals and angels. Is that helpful? How does mm-hmm. it work? I received this information from them. It was absolutely amazing because I had started feeling I need a. I was picturing the stone, like for instance a pink quartz. I was picturing it, and all of a sudden the angel was coming to me and telling this angel. And then I checked. I checked if it would match. And the thing is that we need to know. That there is no right or wrong with the crystals and angels. And same thing with incense. Mm-hmm. The suggestions of the book, for instance, are channeled by the angels. This is what they sent me. But there is no right or wrong. If you feel like burning myrrh incense and using a transparent quartz for Anael, for instance, the archangel of love, it's fine. Usually, I would suggest a different rose incense, and I would suggest a pink quartz. But it's fine if you do it with your heart. It's not something that you have to. It's better because it comes from the angels. The information is really channeled. But you can do something with your heart that perfectly works as well. And as long as you use the right tools, a crystal, incense, essential oils. And regarding the crystals themselves, they have such an amazing power. I experienced it many times, and I'm in your field here, and I would say mm-hmm. you do an amazing job with crystals because they enhance the energy. They convey the energy to the right entity, whether it's ascended masters or angels or the departed as well. They are very close to us, and crystals are a great connection. They are like antennas somehow. To connect yeah. the angels also.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, that's what, thank you for sharing all that. I love that, you know, and it's so, so true. And I just, you know, I've always felt like, you know, there's just so much that we haven't, you know, it's like we discover the stuff when we're ready to discover it, right? I think
yes.
these connections
mm-hmm.
in some way.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, that's the thing that I think is kind of interesting, you know, speaking with a lot of people that, you know, have an interest in angels and maybe they've taken classes or read books and stuff and had their own experiences. I've noticed that, and it's true for myself, where it feels like there is always some sort of connection there. And if it's to one of the archangels, it seems to be for a lot of people that it's like maybe just one or two that they have really felt any kind of connection to. Do you think that we're more, maybe it's an astrological thing where maybe we're more connected to a specific angel?
Oh yes, we are. We have basically two angels that stay with us all the time. There is the guardian angel, who stays with us mm-hmm. from the day we were born until we cross over. He is our angel. He's nobody else's. He's really ours. And then there is the angel of birth, who is with us according to the date of birth. There's 4 days in which, if you were born in these 4 days, it's this angel who will protect these people. So when we are alive on earth, we have these two angels with us all the time. And we also have a personal connection with many, many different angels. So you can have a connection with a specific angel who is not going to be your friend's angel. That's perfectly fine. It's not necessarily related to astrology. I think it's more mm-hmm. related to your emotions, your emotional state, and your the really, I would say, what your heart really throbs with. And it's very emotional. And I don't think it's something that's kind of written in the great book, just written in your heart. and how your heart connects to this angel or this one. And I have, for instance, Raphael, who's with me all the time, taps on my shoulder when there's a danger. My tire blew up and she protected me. I slowed, so really, she said, you slow down. I slowed down and my tire blew up. So it was absolutely crazy. And this is what they do. When you're very connected to them, they are constantly with you, plus your guardian angel. So you have the opportunity to connect with the angels you feel attracted to and feel with your heart. It's only your heart that will tell who is the right angel for you when you want an additional angel to work with you and that you can pray to and connect to and be in tune with and very, very happy to be with this celestial friend who's by your side all the time.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, along with that, that is just an amazing story about the tire and Raphael, you know, really, you could have been hurt, you know, interceding.
Oh, yes, because, and plus it was at night, at twilight, and I was crossing a forest. It was in France, going from my friends to my house, and I was crossing this forest at twilight, and it was I'm not scared, easily scared, but that time I was pretty scared when I was by myself driving this forest, and I was driving at normal speed, and this tap on the shoulder was really a sign, because I'm used to it. I know that this is how they manifest, and especially Raphael, when there's something special for me, and it happened, and then I really listened to this voice saying, slow down, slow down, and that's what I did. And I'm so grateful that I did, because thanks to this, when my son came to rescue me, my tire was so, had literally exploded, and he was really amazed, because when I brought it to the garage, and he said, oh my God, I don't see that often. Really exploded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
So
that's just wild.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And another time, I was jet lagged traveling from Canada to France, and I was proud of myself because I drove 1 hour without falling asleep. And as soon as I arrived in this little town where I lived, 1 hour from Paris, I fell asleep right after having said, oh, I'm glad I didn't fall asleep. And I found myself face to face with a bus, and this tap on the shoulder was very insistent, like it woke me up, and I was facing a bus. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, these experiences make you definitely, without any doubt. If you have a doubt, think of what they did for you, and you have no doubt. It's very helpful. And when I tell you these stories, I can tell them to you today because they helped me to come today and to be still alive to recall these stories with you. So I'm very grateful. And I would like to tell our audience today that angels are always by your side. And the more you connect, the happier they are, and the more willing and to help you, to guide you, to assist you. Just celebrate them. Not only something that's severe or, you know, it's like a very severe ritual. I think it's important to see the rituals as a celebration of happiness, of trust, of confidence, your self-confidence, self-assurance. Yes, I believe in you. Yes, look, I'm creating this beautiful altar with stones, crystals, incense, essential oils, perfumes, whatever I like to put in this on this altar, and flowers, and they love it. They absolutely love it, and you create this happy connection between you and the angels. Je ne sais pas ce qui s'est passé, je ne suis plus en ligne. Ben, ça a coupé. Qu'est-ce que c'est que ce truc?
Okay. Are you there? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
You know, this crazy switchboard here, it just kind of bumped me off, and I was like, ah, I have to get that off. But, oh, my goodness.
What happened?
It's like, vamp a little. Your host will reach in any second. But, you know, there are a few things in here that I think are, you know, really extra, extraordinary about this book. And you have a chapter in here towards the end, The Angel's Great Secrets. And you talk about things in here that I read this chapter like at least twice already. And I'm like, interesting. You know, this is really some interesting stuff. And I wanted to talk because I hadn't read about this anywhere before. The idea of an angelic, I think, egregore, E-G-R-O-G-R-E-E, have a thing in here. And, you know, let me tell you, it was like, I have this book on Kindle and I opened it up to, you know, just wherever, and it was open on that page. And given the kind of, you know, what do we call it? The craziness in the world these days, right? There was something that really struck me about this, because I know a lot of light workers, people want to do things to help heal our world of its woes, you know, be a force for good in it. And I just looked at this and I was thinking, what if there were a group of people that got together and you know, called in an angelic egregore. You know, that just kind of really occurred to me today. And what I was wondering is, this is an advanced angelic practice, right? This is for people who have experience already doing it. Why do you think the angels gave you this information?
Thank you so much for bringing this up. Because it's absolutely true, and you were the first one so far who brings this up, and I thank you really, really for this, yes, and absolutely. I think it's about awakening our consciousness. Angels, when they really channeled this information and sent it to me, it was to create the awareness that something is going on in the world. There's too much negativity, and this egregore, that is this force that we create when we gather people with the same intention and same word and same prayer and same purpose, we get an amazing result. And I would say, you illustrate this by an experience that I had, and you will like it, because it was with crystals. It was an experience with several people surrounded by crystals. Each person laying down was surrounded by crystals, and there were huge crystals, like obelisks in the middle. And it was summertime, windows were open, and blue sky. And after the ritual, there was a cloud over the building, out of nowhere in a blue sky. It was the egregore that created this dark energy to chase it. It came out of everybody that was laying down. It came out of every single person and created this dark cloud that left with the wind. It was blown up with the wind. And this is absolutely amazing. This is the power of the egregore. And if one day we all decide to reunite and gather in somewhere, each person can be in their house, or we can gather somewhere, which is even better, we can create this great positive force to chase away the negative and chase away a lot of negativity that wanders in this and around the planet right now. And it would be a great idea. I love it.
Because I just thought, like, wow, you know, the one thing that I think you read this book and you can't walk away without feeling like, guess what? You're not alone and you're not helpless. And I think that in some way, that's a message of this book. That was the real effect I had once I read it all through the first time. It was like, how you can't read this book and not know and not feel that you're not alone. And I think that's
beautiful.
That's
you said
powerful, powerful aspect to it. So everybody, the book is called Angels, The Definitive Guide to Angels from Around the World. It's available now. You can find it. I think you can find it everywhere. I think you can find it on Amazon. You can find it in bookstores. And it is just, you need to have it in your library.
okay? Everybody, you need this book. Well, Marie, I want to thank you so very much for coming on the show today. This has been a wonderful, wonderful experience speaking with you today. And, you know, what else is, now that you've done this amazing work, you know, what can we expect next from you?
Oh, it's another book on angels, of course.
Yay!
Of course. Yes. It's partly written. So there's 100 pages written and it's not finished. But yes, and definitely it's about angels. So, and I hope that one day we can organize something, set up a meeting and pray all together to the angels. And if you want to join me, you can leave me a message on my website, marieangefogueroa.com. I would be happy to answer your questions and talk to you, and we can one day organize this big angelic gathering. And I would love to be with you first. Of course, you had this amazing idea to suggest this, and crystals are very powerful, definitely. And thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you so much for letting me express the angelic power and angelic love, and sending love to everybody and all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And you have such a bright blessings on the rest of your week.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, wow. That was amazing. Amazing. And truly, truly, you guys have to look for this book. Hey, you know, with the holidays coming up and you're looking for ideas for gifts, this is a wonderful idea for gift giving this season, because it's more than just a book. I love how she said it's more than just a book. It's an energy. And I have to tell you, it truly, truly is. So we are going to take a short break right now and listen to a few words from our station here, the Attune Magazine Radio Network. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about angelic connected stones. I want to talk about a few of the ones that come from the book. I love the idea of the angels suggesting particular stones. And there's a whole chapter on gemstones and crystals in the book, Angels, the Definitive Guide. And we're going to explore some of that when we come back. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Schedule your reading with one of the psychics at Attune. Psychicsatattune.com. Have you always wanted to create your own tarot or oracle deck but thought you needed to be a graphic artist? Self-published decks are really hot right now, and I could show you how to do this. No Photoshop required. Contact me, Mary Nail, at marynail@attunemagazine.com.
www.theresarockforthat.com. Visit the website where there's a stone for that, an idea for that, a story about that, and even a reading with solutions for that, because, well, we just happen to rock like that. Need to relax? Or raise your vibration? Want to know how gems, crystals, and rocks can enhance your life? Get a crystal consultation. For entertainment purposes only, crystal consultations do not in any way replace treatment by licensed healthcare professionals. Come explore the wonders of the Crystal Kingdom at www.theresarockforthat.com.
Welcome to Attune Magazine Radio.
Well, welcome back. You are listening to There's a Rock for That on the Attune Magazine Radio Network. And speaking of Attune Magazine, I did want to mention that we do have a review of this book, Angels, the Definitive Guide to Angels from Around the World, on the Attune Magazine site, which is attunemagazine.com, written by Mary Neal, the head of Attune Magazine. So you definitely want to check that out. I think I read that interview, the review that she did, and she's a bit like me where she's sort of over the moon over this book. Like, this is the book we need to have. So definitely, you know, it's not going to be a book you've read on angels. And I say that pretty confidently because I've read a lot of books on angels, and I'm sure many, many of you have as well. So, but let's talk some more about this idea of crystals and angels. And I have to tell you, in a book about angels, there is a really, really nice section here on crystals. You know, she gives some of the background of, you know, humans throughout, you know, throughout time being, you know, being used in rituals and magical ceremonies, crystals and gemstones, traditional rites as jewels and ornaments. And she goes into a few of the different philosophies about crystals from around the world and practices, and even some, you know, examples of where crystals are referred to in scripture, and on through some remarks on how alchemists in the Middle Ages worked with them. So, you know, to me, it was such a lovely surprise to see that in the book on angels. And not only that, but, you know, she talks about the different jewels that are devoted to the different angels, or jewels that are devoted to angels, and also gives instructions on how to devote a jewel made of crystal to an angel. And I thought that that was really, really interesting. You know, and she talks about, you know, how to choose that crystal, and also gives instructions on how to clean the crystal. Even gives an example of a prayer that you can say to devote it to it, and then what you do afterwards. I mean, all of these things are like very, very detailed, which is absolutely wonderful. She also talks about the different shapes of crystals and things like crystal balls, and how they can be used, like with the crystal ball and meditation, and crystal eggs are also covered in this. I mean, it's like, I'm like, what isn't, I'm trying to think of what did she not cover? Crystal pyramids, crystal obelisks, you know. The thing that was really interesting to me about including all of that is because so often these are the shapes that we see crystals carved into, right? And a lot of times, you know, people will buy a particular stone because of this, either the stone itself, something attracted them to it, or they like the, you know, the way that it's carved, the shape of it. But a lot of times people aren't paying attention to the shape at all. So I think that this is really great because it gives us some information about that, you know. Like, for example, you know, I love and collect crystal pyramids, you know, and I actually do have an altar set up that has my crystal pyramids all on it there. And it's really kind of interesting because she, in her book where she talks about crystal pyramids, she says a pyramid devoted to an angel is particularly appropriate for angelic altars because it channels angelic energies and conserves them in its base, right? So that's for an altar, whereas a pyramid is not recommended for meditation or visualization because of its tip, a powerful receiver of energy, and its vibratory intensity. So this is the kind of information that I'm talking about and why I'm so crazy about this book. Nobody gives you these kind of advices or hints about things, right? You know, we all have probably had moments where we were trying to achieve a specific objective, maybe. Maybe it was visitation by an angel. Maybe it was meditation. Maybe it was visualization. And maybe we were using not necessarily the wrong crystal, because, I mean, it may never really, there may not be such a thing as using the wrong crystal, but maybe we were using the wrong shape of crystal. So I think in that way, this gives us more ideas of how to think about working with crystals and angels. Actually, both, really, when you think about it. But the thing that's really interesting, too, is, you know how much we love talking about the chakras on this show. I think we've done, I don't know, I think it gets mentioned every episode. Now I feel like, you know, there's probably somebody out there, a listener, who started a drinking game where every time I say chakra, you know, they take a swig. But there's a whole section of that, chakra, gemstones, and crystals, and connected with specific angels as well. So I thought, it would be real, and music, right? So it's the color of the chakra, the angel, the gemstone, you know, with several examples of different gemstones to work with, and suggested music as well, which I love that this is included in here too. And just for an example, you know, let's see, where's my favorite, the sixth chakra, right, which we often call the third eye chakra, and we spend a lot of time interested in and thinking about and trying to develop or open up or clear, whatever. You know, third eye chakra is a big deal to our listeners, and so I thought I would just give you that. I don't want to give away too much of the book here because you need to get it, but color indigo, we know that. Archangel Raziel, who I've talked about at different times in this show, one of my favorite, you know, of the archangels. And gemstones and crystals that are in this book suggested with that connection with that sixth chakra or third eye and Archangel Raziel. There's choices of sapphire, lapis lazuli, blue fluorite, blue tourmaline, tanzanite, indigo iolite. And for music, sound of waves in the sea, or Zen music, or relaxation music. You know, that's just what's so lovely about this, is that there's a lot of leeway, you know. And, you know, like I've said many times, you know, that a lot of, sometimes the easiest way to tap into some of these things is to really work with a color of the rainbow, and work with those seven main chakra colors. And stones of those colors is, like, you know, the very rudimentary first step of just how do I start working with this stuff. So all that information is included in this as well. And there's also this wonderful ideas about, you know, different candles you can use, doing a visualization of all the seven chakras, calling in the angels, working with the crystals connected to it. I mean, it just is wonderful. And, you know, like I was talking with Marie-Ange earlier, you know, that towards the end of the book, and we hit some really high level stuff and high level ideas of working with angels. And I know a lot of people, you know, there's so many of you that listen to the show that I also connect with on social media. And, you know, and I thank you for that. Thank you for tuning in. And I love to connect and, you know, have an exchange of ideas, or just, you know, see how everyone's doing. And I know, you know, I know this is a tough time for a lot of people. The holiday time, anyways, for a lot of people is a difficult time. The news cycle that we're in this last month or so has been weighing on a lot of people's hearts and minds. And, you know, I think it's so very important that those of us who want to stay positive and do call ourselves light workers, that it's even more important now that we walk the walk, okay? That we stay in that space of positivity and welcoming the light into our world and into the world around us. And, you know, sometimes I think we have to hold a little bit of space for other people too that maybe, you know, are losing their footing, you know, during things that are difficult. And, you know, there's just nothing more, there's nothing more grounding than working with crystals. They come out of the ground, most of them, except for our starborn ones. But they come out of the earth. So I think that this is important to remember that and to hold on to that idea, okay, that we can be grounded in the earth, and to also recognize that we have all of us everywhere. I mean, she explained how everywhere and everything, angels, or the angelic energy is all around us, that we can also, you know, connect with that too. So I just, you know, that's something that I wanted to leave you all with today, was this idea of, you know, that grounding and also the higher connections that we have. Because I think that there's not a lot that we can do to change, you know, the way the world is around us, you know, in the immediate sense, right? And I think that's a big part of things, is we can feel like, oh, it's too much, and, you know, but just because we can't, you know, and, you know, write a law or enact a bill or change somebody's mind, doesn't mean that we are helpless and there's nothing that we can do. You know, we need more good in this world. And there is a lot of good in this world. So we have to be able to remember both of those things, that there's already so much good here and so much good around us and so much good in each of our individual lives every day, yesterday and tomorrow, and there will continue to be. But there's a lot of room to bring in a lot more of light and a lot more good, and all of us are connected to that and have the ability to help bring that more into the world. So there you go. And I want to thank you all for listening today, tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you get that book, Angels, The Definitive Guide to Angels Around the World by Marie-Ange Vaugirola. It is a wonder unto itself. It's just beautiful, beautiful. And I hope that all of you are having a lovely time this cold weather for some, and just kind of craziness for others and boringness for others. I hear all of you talking about all the different levels that we're all operating at all the time, you know. But I hope in the midst of all of it that you are letting a nice little speck of joy inside of you, allowing that to shine out more into your consciousness and into the consciousness around you. So I bid you all a beautiful, beautiful week. Bright blessings to all of you. And I hope you will all tune in next Thursday, same time, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on the Attuned Magazine Radio Network, to There's a Rock for That. And next week we are going to continue this idea of connecting through crystals with other beings. And we will be talking about, finally, I've been promising this for a while, we will be talking about connecting with our ascended masters. Okay, so I will see you all next week for that. Bye-bye, everybody.